Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Here comes Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane. Get all the night. It looks like he's never going to leave. It's the house guest that will not leave as the markets continue to make new highs. And, of course, we had the big announcement over the weekend that OPEC and non-OPEC agreed to cut oil. And can I ask this question? Who gives a crap? We know a couple of things for certainty that the OPEC members are cheats and thieves, and nobody will honor the agreement. And we know that the non-OPEC nations are also crooks. So do we really think that this is going to have a major effect? Not to mention that we're only talking about a potential reduction of 2% of an already record production in oil. So is the 12%... or 14% rally in oil justified? Now, I'm not saying it won't pop for a couple of days, but certainly, in my eyes, I would be selling it with both hands and looking for a breakdown here in the oil space. I think that you've seen the best of it. I'm from the school that the information is most likely priced in already, and I think that's something to keep your eyes and ears on top of. I think that at the end of the day, what you will see is, again, you might see a spurt, you might just see it go straight down. But at the end of it, I mean, they've now done what they're going to do, but we know nobody's going to honor it. This is not the first time. But I think what nobody's really talking about is the bigger item is that since we are not part of OPEC, since they have screwed us every time they've had the chance, because we became so dependent on foreign oil because it was so cheap to buy from them, it wasn't worth going after ourselves. And now that we have this exposure and this ability to get it anytime we want, expect to see us drilling more, creating more if prices stay higher. Why? Because, well, why wouldn't our frackers want to take advantage of it? So I think that what you're looking at here now is a great reason to believe that oil will now work its way much lower. I think that, you know, we've seen this movie before. And, you know, what everybody keeps forgetting is they keep referring back to the last time we were over $100. And that was in July of 14. But we were still not in a position like we are now with as much oil. We were just realizing that fracking and shale find, and we were still dependent, so we were very afraid. And so when the Mideast had its troubles back then, oil did spike up. Why? Well, because we need it, and we were afraid that we weren't going to be able to get it. But now we're past that. We don't need it. And just a further reminder that during that period of time, the oil was in massive backwardation, which only means this. The only oil that was really expensive back in July of 14 was the front month or the trading month. But if you looked out into the future, the oil in December that year was 90. So it was down 20% lower. And as you went out in the time, it kept coming down because we knew the fear would eventually wind out. The problem would eventually go back. So you get into the, in commodities, you get into these, what they call backwardation and contango. And that gives you a pretty clear sign as to what's going to happen. So again, I look at this as a bunch of BS. I wrote that today, that it's a bunch of BS. And I don't believe anything that they say, and I know that in history they have always changed, and they've never honored any bargain. So why would this be different? Okay, you know, it's the same thing. You know, it's different this time. Well, the market's never different. Okay, the market is always the same, and until we identify that and focus on the fact that nothing changes, just the levels at which we trade it change, but markets work the same, that's what we're going to see. So, you know, let's not, you know, kid ourselves. Let's also not kid ourselves that, yes, the markets continue to go higher. And certainly I'm not going to tell you to get in the way of it. I'm not going to tell you to fight it. I would tell you to sell oil, but I wouldn't tell you to fight the market up at these levels. I would say to you that, hey, you know, it's we're looking for it in the markets. Why? Well, you know, markets do work on a probability model. They work on valuations, and there is no way that the market valuations can sustain what they're trying to price in now. And this is always the trap that everybody gets caught into, is they get so excited. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying today is it and you should go out and sell it. I'm saying that, you know, you need to be careful. You need to be hedged. You need to be on top of your game, because at the end of it, we're going to see at some point a dramatic shift, and that dramatic shift will come and most people will go, oh my God, what happened? Okay. And again, it's not, this is not new. This happens all the time. I can't believe it. I can't believe the market broke down. Well, better believe it, because the probabilities dictate that we are unbelievably close. And if you just look at some of the indicators, okay, of math, not of stocks, but if you look at the Bollinger Bands, we're out 2 and 3 standard deviations in very long-term charts. These are the same patterns that developed in 87, in 2000, in 2008. And again, it doesn't mean we're going to go down tomorrow. And again, I'm not trying to get you short. What I'm doing here now is I'm giving you fair warning that even a train stops at the station. Okay. And at some point, now again, maybe it won't be a dramatic sell-off. I don't know what it's going to be. But, you know, we're at ridiculous levels. We've got every network in the world cheering and waiting for 20,000. And quite frankly, 20,000 would not surprise me. It would not surprise me if we hit 20,000 this week on Friday. Okay? It would be a perfect way to end triple witching expiration. Okay? It would be a perfect way to basically end the year, so to speak. I mean, I know the year's still got a couple weeks left, but that's like the last trading day of the year. So 20,000 would be certainly not something that we would be shocked at. I mean, again, you know, one thing you learn about markets is they get to certain prices, they get to certain round hole numbers, and they're going to take it out, okay? And, you know, it doesn't take that much manipulation by traders and big money to force that level. And if you tie that in with a lot of the late money chasing that's going on right now, okay, you know, the fund managers who want to perform well so they can charge you your fee, that you didn't make any money, but they'll show great performance at the end so you get to pay a bigger fee. That, I think, is something you're seeing as well. So at the end of the day, we'll see how it plays out. And again, I'm not recommending that you sell everything. I never do that. I'm recommending that you pay attention. I'm recommending that you go to BubbaTrading.com and look at our hedging program that starts in January. I'm recommending that you email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com so you can get a view and listen to an hour webinar of me describing how the hedging model works. Because again, if you don't have to take risk, why would you want to? That's always the question I have to ask you, is if risk doesn't have to be taken, why should I take it? So in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. But before we do, I want to remind you that LibertyTalk.fm is the place you want to go and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We will see you back here right after the break. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're right back after the break.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Kitchen Report. And Jane, are you ready for the polar plunge?
I guess, ready or not, here it is. I mean, I'm just going to stay in. I'm going to, I don't know, make some chili in the crock pot, have a little hot chocolate, and try to make the best of it.
And our, of course, our guy Donald Trump will be running around the globe still. And what do you think of all the thank you tour he's on and all his things he's done in his cabinet appointments? What's your views?
Well, I mean, I think it's great. I think he's done pretty much what he said he was going to do. I mean, he gets the fact that all these regulations, and there have been hundreds under the Obama administration, I mean, they're just roadblocks to business. I mean, business is hard enough. I mean, just selling stuff to people is hard enough without roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. I mean, of course, some regulations are reasonable, but these were like going way too far, what some of these groups were doing. And he's going to completely upend everything the Obama administration did with these appointments. I mean, there is no doubt about it. You know, the head of CKE restaurants, how he feels about minimum wage and the Affordable Care Act, the head of the who he's appointed for Health and Human Services secretary, how they feel about what Obama did. I mean, this is just a total rebuke of everything that President Obama spent for the past 8 years. It's going to be good for business. I mean, we see it in the stock market. There's a lot of pin-up buying, and it's still going on.
No, you're right. I mean, and it's a, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I don't know how much regulations affect your small business, but, you know, the normal small business, especially if you're involved in the regulatory world, you know, if you're in the finance world, I mean, they put every small guy out of business because of the cost of having to have even a compliance officer. I mean, most compliance officers make more than the profits that these small companies make. So it makes it much tougher.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, I'm more affected by New York State tax burdens. And, of course, I do have Obamacare, so I can talk firsthand about what a problem that's been. I had to leave my doctor of 16 years because she didn't take Obamacare, went to a new doctor. I finally found somebody that I liked, and she's going to stop taking it at the end of this year. So I got to find yet another doctor. And I'm just like, I feel like I've got one more year of this, and then maybe we'll have something that makes a lot more sense.
And we hope so. I mean, you know, listen, you know, health care is tough enough. And if you have to leave your doctor, and it's very obviously very expensive, and hopefully they'll bring in some competition, which I think is more of the problem, not only is Obamacare a problem, but the way that we have no competition, really, and there's just one basically carrier, and the carrier's getting hurt. And this whole, I mean, this is well before Obamacare, but the insurance industry, you know, it's like who's screwing who? The doctors would overbill and the insurance company would beat them up. So why can't we just create a scale where the doctors, listen, doctors are entitled to make a lot of money because, listen, they give up how many years of their life to go to school and how much money to get through it. So, you know, again, sure. I get it all, but it needs to be where everybody's just on the same page, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have never spent a lot of time. I've always been, you know, I'm going to knock on wood here, healthy. You know, I had two children, uneventful birth, but I was in the hospital for two nights, I guess, for each of them. I think that's the minimum that you have to be in now. And those bills were like $30,000. I mean, for my daughter, I didn't even have any drugs. I mean, she was born so quickly, I didn't even have an epidural, and it still was that much. And then I was looking at the bill, and I'm like, they're charging this much, but then we're paying this. It makes no sense. It's the most ridiculous system ever. And I just can't believe people tolerate it. I mean, I really hope that the guy that he's nominated, I can't think of his name right now, the congressman from Georgia, I really hope that he comes. He's a doctor, so I hope he comes in, brings some common sense to the system. It's going to do everybody a lot of good. If this is just more logical, if it's based more on preventative care, you know, people are not going to the dentist because there's hardly any dental care out there. And speaking of that, when I was at Bloomberg, I had Cigna for my dental care. They were wonderful. I'd go get a cleaning. I'd bill them. A week later, I'd have a check. I can't buy Cigna as a dental insurer as a private individual in New York State for some reason. None of this makes any sense, and it needs to be changed so desperately.
I could not agree with you more, and of course, there's obviously tons of problems, but I think we're going to get a lot of these resolved. And now we do look at, of course, the markets, and you and I do talk markets occasionally. Now, I mean, Don't you think we're getting a little carried away here? I mean, the Russell's up 23% since Obama's been appointed president. I mean, are we going up like 1,000,000% or what? Is this going to ever slow down?
Well, I know, but I mean, it's, the day that we went up 300 points, I was like, what? I was like, I can't believe, I thought if anything, we've got all these central banks meeting globally. And I was like, oh, we're at least going to be on hold for a couple of weeks before we resume the rally. And then that day, I think we're up 300%. So, I think there's a lot of people who did not think this would happen that are still on the sidelines. And we could see Dow 20,000 by Christmas. I mean, we're not very far away from there. And people are starting to jump in and jump on board. And I feel like for the first time, really since 2000, there's excitement about the stock market. It's been, when you think what we went through the dot-com bust, we went through Enron, we went through 9/11, we went through scandal after scandal, we went through the financial crisis. There's been no reason to be excited about investing in the stock market until the last month or so. And I feel like things could really change. And it's about time. It's been 16 years.
Yeah, it could. And of course, though, we've been through, I've been doing this since 1980. And I've been through 87 and 89. And, I think we're getting just a little bit too exuberant here. I mean, look, let's hope that everything that he's trying to do gets done, because it certainly seems like a much better path. And of course, he was in Iowa giving his big speech there. And he seems to be really on the farmer's side with the EPA and all mm-hmm. these other things, which is, I think, a very big thing for farmers. What do you think? You're more experienced
yes.
in it.
Oh, huge. It's absolutely huge. I mean, they've just been a pain in the butt. I mean, to farmers, like, you have a little flooding on your farm and the EPA comes in, and it was just like totalitarianism. I mean, the EPA way overstepped their bounds on this. And that's going to completely get turned around. I guess my biggest fear is there still are people who care about minimum wage and they care about environmental things. EPA went overboard, but I don't want to see the Republican administration go completely overboard and cause some backlash on it.
Well,
the guy is amazing. I mean, in terms of energy, I mean, how much, he's tweeting at three, he's speaking at several different places in several different cities. I mean, he's going to get a lot done. He's probably going to get a lot more done than what people expect in the first 100 days.
No, I think he's going to get a tremendous amount done, and I think he's a one-term president because I don't think he wants to. I think he's going to just go for one. He's going to do all he can. He's an animal from energy. I mean, he's always around. He's always doing things, and I think that we're going to see a lot of improvement now. But one of the things about the minimum wage is, if we keep pushing this minimum wage issue, we're going to lose more jobs than we're ever going to gain. Because, I'll give you one example. Little Caesars, I don't know if they're in New York yet, Little Caesars Pizza.
I know Little Caesars.
Well, what they've done is they've now, there's a machine that makes the pizzas by itself. So basically they take a store that had three employees, they take it down to one because all the employees have to do is push a button. And the machine costs $70,000.
Right.
So they pay for it in less than a year. So, how can we, minimum wage, I think wages have to be the same as everything else on a price discovery model. We have to pay and we can't have slave labor, but we should have, minimum wage should not be for people that are trying to make a full-time job. And if we get jobs, we won't have that problem. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But here's the thing, Todd, you and I understand how economics works and most Americans don't. They see profits that CEOs make and they think that they should get a little piece of that and their minimum wage should go up. So there's always going to be people that don't understand how it works and there's going to be protests and there's going to be, people who agree with them and they're going to feel sorry for them. So I'm just hoping that it's all handled right. And there's going to have to be some education, I think, for the public on how business works. And, we'll see. We'll see how well that works. But, there's always people who don't get how economics and how business really works, and they think they do, and they screw things up.
Well, they'll have to get the Jane King Financial Literacy Podcast so they can understand how the markets and everything works. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about that. I'm working on the younger generation, so we're hopefully, this one may be too late, but we're working on the younger kids so they can get what really happens. Economics, not everybody always wins in economics.
They can straighten us out. If you straighten them out, they can straighten out the world, and it won't take long. And, of course, Jane King, Lila Mekshmi, The Kaching Report, and who always brings good life to the Bubba Show. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King, and who she always brings good stuff. And, of course, she is a nationwide reporter with a business background and understands all of it. So it's always great to have her as a part of the show. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is where you can hear Jane more often, and you can hear get the downloads of The Bubba Show and a lot of our other great programming. We do have 24-hour day programming, so I encourage you to check it out and also download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step out here for a break. We're going to come back after the break with our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our own in-house expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, you know, we talk every week, and we've seen what we thought were highs, and we continue to push higher, and the illusion of whatever is happening is really wild. But I know that this week you have a little bit more certainty in your writing and what's going on. What are you seeing here, my brother?
Right. Well, you know, I think we've been in the process of getting to bull market highs, and you know, every lesser target on the way there really hasn't, you know, stood up. So, but now we're getting very close to our projected final tops.
The final is it? I hope this is the final top, like the bond market was the final top, because that was certainly they've continued to fall, and I know that you're getting a little concerned about how fast those things are going down now, and I know that you believe that the bond market is pretty much oversold there, and probably some sort of a dip buying opportunity somewhere down around here, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so, and it'll probably be, you know, what's probably going to happen is we're going to get a big sell off in stocks, and then you're going to get the typical, you know, run to safety of treasuries, and that'll probably be what lifts treasuries.
Now, you know, obviously, your charts don't know that the Santa Claus rally is here. And, you know, we can't account for some of the outside things at certain points. But do you think the sell-off starts before the end of the year, or do you think we kind of vacillate around here and hang around for a while and maybe after the first of the year? I mean, obviously, this week, we've got the Fed and we've got triple witching expiration, which typically the triple witching is a little bit higher. But and then, of course, you've got, you know, basically 2 weeks of almost dead time following, which typically quiet, which I mean, in a thin market, you could actually get somebody muscled around a little bit and you could see some push down. So what are you seeing, you know, because of the holiday? Does it affect your thought process at all?
Not really. I mean, you know, well, it does affect my thought process. One of the things I'm looking at as far as timing goes is, What is the skew in VIX options? What are the, because these are European style options, and you know, I take a look at whether the VIX calls are more expensive than the VIX puts, whether those premiums are skewed. And right now, as of you know today, the VIX calls are 5 times more expensive than the VIX puts. But if you look out to January, it goes up to about 10 to 15 times more expensive for calls than puts. You go out to February, it's 30 times more expensive. So if you look at what the market makers are thinking, they're thinking, and I like to follow them because they're usually the smart money, they're saying that you know, the real precipitous part of the drop is going to be more likely in January and February than it is here in December. My charts don't really care about, you know, timing. All they really care about is, have we hit, you know, the final, you know, price projection. And, you know, up until this point, we haven't really been, you know, close enough that I would get worked up over it. I knew, you know, we're getting overextended, we're getting overbought, but it's only now are we actually at these, you know, close to these final target highs.
So we maybe, and now the final curtain. So we have this, and of course, obviously, you know, in my opinion, and I know this isn't necessarily up in the charts, but the longer that they extend here, the harder the fall. It's kind of one of those, you know, we keep pushing up, and that all that does means to me is they're going to create more sellers and more panic when it finally does start to turn over. Does that play in your mind at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like stretching a rubber band, and, you know, how we're stretching to the upside here is going to just, you know, it's going to shoot that much faster to the, you know, to the downside, I think. If you look at, you know, Bollinger Bands are a good example where in the S&P, Dow, Russell 2000, we are well extended above the upper Bollinger Band on daily, weekly, and monthly charts, which is highly unusual, and we're pushed through by a, you know, very large degree, in some cases records, you know, on a percentage basis, definitely on a point basis. So yeah, they're really, really stretched. Dow, our daily RSI, which isn't always super telling, but it's, you know, it's never been this high, except for one occurrence, in the late 90s, going back, I think, at least over 40 years. So things are really stretched.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all seen this movie before, and it always ends the same way. The problem is sometimes the duration is a little bit longer, and sometimes there's some outside factors which you don't ever take into consideration. I mean, it's about the chart, but we do see a lot of things. What do you think about the Euro, what do you call it? European exchange. What do you call it? And I always forget the name.
Stoxx 50.
Right. That was up like 6% last week or something like that.
Yeah, it was huge. It was a huge gain. 6%, I think, is correct. And I mean, actually, that could continue. I have made in that index, I have major resistance at 33.30, which is about 4 to 4.5% higher than our close last week. So could it get that high? Yeah, it is possible. If it does, it will not go any further than that. That's brick wall resistance, and it's a it would be a turning point that would, for the European side, that would kick off you know, the final leg of their bear market.
And so you're seeing the rally, and you think it continue. How would you end up shorting the Euro Stoxx 50?
Well, that's a good question. Because there's two ways really that you know, most people might use. The two ETFs are FEZ and then HEDJ. And HEDJ just, you know, sounds like hedge. Obviously, it's the Euro Stoxx 50 ETF hedged for euro exposure. So they sell short the euro in addition to you know, being long the Euro Stoxx. And that there's a big differential there. I see maximum upside for HEDJ as roughly 1.5%, but with FEZ, I see it as a full 4.5%. So, you know, what that says to me is that's a currency effect, the difference between those two. I've been bullish on the euro. We've had a lot of, you know, volatility last week, you know, back and forth with the Italian referendum. Then we had, you know, Mario Draghi. So it's been up and down. But I think the euro is put in a long-term low. So I think that euro is going higher, and that makes sense. That makes sense to me. That therefore, HEDJ has that headwind of being short the euro. So it has, you know, less room to the upside. So we are short HEDJ, and that's the way we would be short the Euro Stoxx 50.
Now, I've seen some of your oil targets, and I know you're a little bit bearish oil, but you do think that you've seen some potential runs up to maybe 55 or even as high as, I think, 69. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that the OPEC nations got together over the weekend, and, of course, I say bullshit, I don't care. To me, that's it makes it a better opportunity to sell, because not one of them will honor the bargain or the deal, so they're going to be pumping like crazy anyways. But so what's your short-term call here? Is the high in your opinion?
I know you have higher levels that I can go to, but what would you? How would you take it?
I agree. I'm a bit skeptical about what OPEC's going to do, but we're close to a high. I think these targets that I have, they're all descending by about 10 cents per day, 50 cents per week. So that $69 target, even though it's it seems well above, and that's kind of an outrageous call. I don't expect we'll get to 69 or even the 60s really. They're all descending. All over three targets, and the first comes in today around 53, and that's ballpark. If we're around 51, it's a good place to be short right here. The way we're doing it is we're shorting calls, and when we go to the lower end of the range, which we see is probably low 40s again, we'll short puts, and I think it's going to just basically bounce in a range between low 40s and mid 50s. And every time we get to the mid-50s, we'll be selling calls. Every time we get to the low 40s, we'll sell puts.
All right. And I mean, that's a nice strategy. You're trying to get a little advantage. Of course, volatility is so low from these things that you don't get as much kick. But, we've seen, obviously, a lot of things. Is there anything that's especially catching your eye here?
I've been so focused, because I, started to get really interested in U.S. markets. We haven't been short until the end of last week, and now that we are, I'm really focused on U.S. markets. I think we're going to get a big downdraft in U.S. markets. It may not begin until January. I guess one other thing I'm focused on is, like I said, I think major turning points are occurring in both the euro and the dollar. The euro should be bottoming out, and the dollar should be peaking. With thinking about the dollar peaking, I think we're going to get in the next, say, 6 months, we're going to get a mega bottom in commodities, and I think we're going to have another commodity bull market coming up soon.
I agree. Actually, I've been calling for that, and I agree with that. I think that I continue to tell my farmers and producer buddies that, hey, it's going to be a big year, 2017. I think it's going to be a good year. And I think you can kind of see we're kind of getting a little bit of a bottoming kind of patterns in here right now as they churn. But we'll talk about this and more with our guy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, fresh back from his trip. I mean, I know it was a week ago, but he's still probably jet lagged from traveling all over the Australia, Perth, and Brisbane. But this is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, LibertyTalk.fm gets you the download of every single show, including the Sporting Edge on the weekend. We're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back at the break with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, our in-house expert, our chartist who gets it all. And Matt, I tell you, I watch and I do a lot of stuff for Kitco, and I keep saying that I think gold's got probably one more down leg before the bear market's over, but certainly I think we're a lot closer to the end of the bear market in gold than and turning around going to a bull market pretty soon. And I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but what do you think?
Well, in terms of time, I agree. I think that we're close. We're it's not far off to want to see the gold bottom. As far as price goes, I don't think, I still don't think we're that close to the bottom. And I'd like to think so, because, I'm a gold bug, I'm a silver bug, but I prefer silver. I think silver, is the better call, the better way to get long precious metals. I don't think that, it has quite as much downside as gold. It's right now, short term, it's a little bit complex with gold. We are near short-term supports that have a real good shot of bouncing up to even at the 1400 level. I'm just not convinced that will be the beginning of the new bull market.
Right.
I don't think it really began in December or January either. So where I'm coming down on gold is short-term bullish, intermediate-term bearish, and then long-term bullish again. We just haven't hit my final lows, so I'm just waiting for that. But silver, I think, right here is a good buy, and I think down through the teens is the lower teens here, I think, are really good prices, and I have no fear really of buying at these levels.
And we could also get a little help this week from the Federal Reserve, because obviously we're getting a big price up in the dollar because of the Fed, because they're going to raise rates. We're getting a big push down, obviously, in gold and silver because of the same reasons. Now, as you and I both know from being around long enough, they always overshoot the mark, and you've got too many people chasing it in here at the end, in my opinion, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think that could give you the trigger to get that either short covering rally or that dead cat bounce that we've been so long looking for. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, if you think about the dollar and, you know, it having run back up again towards recent highs, I think it's going to be a sort of a buy the rumor, sell the news event. I think once, you know, the Fed speaks, I mean, who knows? Maybe they say, you know, they're more hawkish now than they have been in the past. I really don't think so. You know, that's just a personal opinion. But the charts are saying that the dollar is peaking out. So, you know, my guess is they say, you know, we're going to raise a quarter point and then, you know, we're off for the next year or something like that. Or maybe they won't say that. But for the foreseeable future, we have no huge expectations for more rates. More rate rises.
It could be. I'm betwixt and between. I think that they want to raise a lot. I think Trump wants them to raise a lot. But also, if Trump wants to keep his policies in place and he wants to do a restructuring, then he probably has to try to keep them low. So I'm kind of in the middle here. I mean, they should raise end of the day, but we'll see what happens. But now, obviously, we talk a lot about the agricultural markets. And the first market I want to talk about, though, because this has been a move that we haven't seen in a long time, and that is in the hog market. They have gone basically parabolic to begin with. They settled a little bit last week, but then this past week, they absolutely exploded again. And it's interesting, and I continue to say that there's going to be a news item coming out here shortly. They just don't make moves like this without somebody thinking something. I'm guessing, but what are the charts telling you?
Charts are telling me that if you look at a daily, you know, it's the RSI is well overbought. It's now at a level that, you know, if I was long, I'd be selling out. We were holding on to cattle. We sold that. It looked that hogs had a little bit more upside, so we kind of hedged our bets and we bought the cow ETF, COW, which is half cattle, half hogs. That's done pretty well, but it's very close to our initial, our first objective resistance, which is around just over 21. And, you know, it looks, hogs in particular look like they're ready to fall back to the downside. But I wouldn't be, you know, the thing there is I'm not looking for significantly lower lows. I'm just thinking we're going to get probably a slightly lower low. And there may, you know, before that happens, we may get a little bit more upside too. I mean, it has the potential to go a little bit higher. And but then I think we'll get a move back towards the lows. I'm not so convinced that cattle will make new lows, but I think that hogs will make probably slightly lower lows.
No, and I agree. I mean, it's been fascinating. I mean, you know, it's not so fascinating when you're short them, which I was for a little bit. But, you know, when you're choking on them, you need the Heimlich maneuver to get rid of the hogs. But, I mean, you know, they have been fascinating because no matter what happens, they go up. And they were kind of reminding me of the stock market, you know. I guess, you know, Donald Trump is going to take care of the stock market and take care of the hog market. But what do you think of the grain markets here? I think corn had, you know, I know you've been a little bit bearish corn, but corn had a pretty interesting move, came down to the support, popped and ran pretty well. Beans continue to stay in this range. And wheat, I don't know, is wheat going to finally get off its ass? I mean, I'm in full agreement with you that wheat's the best, but it certainly is getting arduous to be sitting here trying to keep playing this stupid thing.
Yeah, it's tough. Wheat's tough. You know, in each of these patterns is... They're taking a long time to play out. I would say wheat could make a slight new low. I must sound like a broken record on this one, but it's right in the ballpark of what I think was a long-term low. The corn and soybean markets, I think they still haven't hit my long-term lows. They're just, you know, screwing around at different, you know, short-term levels, you know, sort of driving me mad. And but I do think there's, you know, one big leg left to the downside in both corn and soybeans. that just hasn't happened yet. This is long term. This is the kind of thing where you can just sit around waiting. You know, you don't want to wait your. You could wait, you know, years for this to happen. I've been waiting 5 years for the precious metals to bottom. So these are really long term targets. In the short term, corn and soybeans could really go either direction. They're, you know, as far as being overbought, oversold, they're sort of they're right in the middle. So we're not really even playing them right now.
No, I agree. I mean, again, they are right in the middle, and it's interesting. So are these rising or lowering levels as well when you look at them? Like, for example, in the oil you told us, it's like 10 cents a day. Are these also moving levels, or are they different?
Well, wheat is pretty lateral, and I'd have to take a look at corn. I think corn and soybeans are both rising levels, but they are much lower. So to say in corn... Yeah, we're looking about like 20% lower. So even though they're rising relatively slowly, and so they're not lateral, but they are rising. So, but yeah, I would think there's still quite a bit more downside in corn, for example, until final bottoms.
Well, listen, I'm a big firm believer that the wheat will go over corn by more than it is now. You know, the traditional historical ratio was like a dollar over. Now, it hasn't been that way. It's been, in fact, it inverted at one point, but I think it'll go back there. And right now, it's about 40 cents. So that means to me they're going to separate. So it could be wheat up 30, corn down 30, and we get back to a normal ratio. And, you know, we're seeing all these things. Anything really... strike your fancy here? Anything that you really look at that said you got to do this now, or are we just kind of in that coasting mode until the year's over, unless something really just jumps off the page?
Well, you know, going right back to U.S. markets, U.S. stock markets, the one index that I was, you know, pretty interested in is Russell 2000. Given how, you know, it's just screamed higher, it's 20% higher since the November lows. I took a look at what are the commercials doing? Well, first of all, we're within 2% of the top. I'll just go ahead and give that out there. We're within 2% of the top in Russell 2000. And if you look at what the banks are doing, they've never been this short Russell 2000 futures ever. This is their highest short position. I think it may be their highest position. Well, it's not their highest overall position, long or short, but it is their highest short position ever in Russell 2000 futures. So they are on board with Russell 2000 taking a big dive.
It's unbelievable. 23% rally. I can't believe it. I actually did a calendar spread at the 127 level. It's now at 137. It's an amazing animal. And as you are an amazing analyst, and this has been Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, always brings great information and brings us the stuff that exactly how he sees it. Matt, as always, thank you so much.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day. You get to hear Matt and others, and this will do it for today. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.